This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael, a couple of college sports stories and NCAA issues, stuff, whatever. A group of U.S. senators introduced new and wide-sweeping legislation Wednesday that aims to address many current issues in college sports, according to Dan Murphy of ESPN, including an effort to restore some rulemaking power to the NCAA and open the possibility for conferences to sell their lucrative television rights as one large group. The Protect College Sports Act, probably the PCSA, written after months of negotiation between Republican Ted Cruz and Democrat Maria Cantwell, would provide the NCAA with an antitrust exemption to enforce several rules that have been challenged in court in recent years. Those rules would include limiting athletes to transferring schools only one time without penalty. So they can transfer once and then the rest is a penalty. Limiting athlete eligibility to a maximum of 5 years, which we've already talked about, the 5 and 5. Prohibiting former professional athletes from playing in college. Yeah, good. Prohibiting schools from poaching a coach from another school during their sports season. So all things I agree with, Michael. And
what is it called again? I want to look into it.
What?
What is it called again?
The Protect College Sports Act. Probably, Michael, the PCSA. The PCSA. Because we like to do that. How about that? Just let the dumpster fire of the NCAA bring us all together, Republicans and Democrats alike, because you have Republican Ted Cruz and Democrat Maria Cantwell working together on putting this NCAA antitrust exemption deal in place to enforce several rules that have been challenged in courts and in the courts over the years. Sound all things I agree with, by the way. Agree with all of them.
It is 111 pages long.
Oh, I can't read all that. That's too much. That's way too much for my brain to read.
I'm just saying, like, it's probably got a bunch of pork in it.
The bill, which is also sponsored by Eric Schmidt, Republican, senators, and Chris Coons, Democrat. Michael, this is bringing the parties together. The disaster that is the NCAA is bringing the parties together. How about that? Big Hub says the government needs to focus on other things.
I agree.
Yes.
I knew I liked Big Hub.
But let me just ask, let me just play devil's advocate. Who's going to fix it then? Who's going to fix college sports? Or do you care? Do you want it to just break off and be some foreign concept to us that we didn't really understand? Because you can't let the NCAA fix it. You can't let the conferences fix it because nobody can fix it. Nobody can fix it.
Brady?
Yes, Michael.
There is Section 115, extension of revenue sharing.
Oh, a salary cap?
Yeah.
Like actually putting a real salary cap in place?
Yeah.
how? I think you have to make him. Does it say anything in there about having to be employees?
Ooh, there's a whistleblower protection. I like that. Section 120.
Explain it.
Well, a whistleblower, you know, if a company is doing something wrong,
right,
the person will blow the whistle.
Their identity is protected.
Certain, like, there should be protections for that whistleblower, which would allow that person to come forward. Otherwise,
anonymously,
they could be fired.
Yeah. But aren't, okay. Big Hub, I like you too, Michael. And the NCAA needs to fix their own mess. They won't, though. They won't. It's only getting worse. Well, Kenny Swami, I'd rather them focus on this than half the other BS they spend their time on.
You mean Twitter? Twitter and Blue Sky. That's what they spend most of their time on.
I don't know what Blue Sky is. What's a Blue Sky?
That's the Democrat Twitter.
They all have their own Twitters.
What's his name, bot Twitter. A lot of the Democrats got mad, so they started Blue Sky. They took their anger.
Are we 12?
Over there.
So we have to have separate social media accounts?
Yeah, it's really dumb. It's like, I like the fact that, like, it's you can have whatever social media you want. I like the fact that there's different, you know, companies doing it. The problem is, it's like, that doesn't take care of the angry people. You have angry people on Twitter now. You have angry people on Blue Sky.
Well,
all listening to themselves.
I don't care. It's all dumb. It's like when I see protesters. Dude, I live in Fort Collins, kind of Timnath. There are protesters out in front of the Walmart in Timnath every weekend. And again,
if they're not Broncos fans,
I'm not like it's May. It's May, but I'm not like arguing for them for their cause, whatever. I just think it's funny that they think a sign is going to change someone's mind. Then they get people that honk that agree with them already. I'm telling you, protesters, like, don't waste your time. Because the people drive by and see your signs, if they disagree with you, they're going to keep tootling on and continuing to disagree with you. If they honk at you and agree with you, they're going to keep tootling on and agree with you. I'll get you to the finish line. You don't have to waste your time. You're not changing a vote saying, they're all liars.
Because we already know that.
Or accountability. Oh, you know what? I am now voting against what I voted for last time. No, don't waste your time. Brady, wow. It's un-American. You're telling people to stop protest.
Oh, well, yeah, that is in the First Amendment. But like, I like the idea that people can have a conversation. I just am not guaranteed that people...
But they're like on the side of, what is it, harmony? Like, they're on the side of... No one's pulling over. They're at a light. No one's going to get out and say, that's a very interesting sign. Tell me about it. No one's doing that.
Yeah,
sorry, we got political.
That's them just bringing attention to themselves. And that's not useful. If you want to start a conversation, that's educational.
Another story here. Conversations, this one according to ESPN. Conversations around conference expansion have dominated the college football spring meetings thus far. Kirby Smart made some interesting comments on Tuesday about the SEC essentially seceding and moving away from the NCAA. Like he's doubling down on stuff we've already talked about. Kirby Smart suggested that if an agreement can't be reached on expansion spending in the NIL era and beyond, perhaps the SEC should try to go it alone. He said, I've said this for a long time to our president. I've been a huge advocate that if we can't find rules that everybody plays by, then we should play our own. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to break away and say that our conference is strong enough to go out and play. So you're saying if we can't find something that everybody wants, if you can't agree with what we're saying, then we'll just go. Yeah, that's how it works.
That's kind of an SEC Big Ten type of thing.
So what happens when you're in the SEC and you start the teams in the conference start disagreeing with things? Are you going to split up again and just keep splitting? Because that's the way to do it. When the going gets tough, we are out the door.
Taking our ball and going to our field.
Because they don't like regulating NIL. which they signed up for. Oh, NIL go. Yeah, we can regulate NIL so that'll stop all those teams from poaching our guys. Wait a second. We can't poach your guys? Wait. That doesn't make any sense. The Big Hub, how does the SEC create their own NCAA? They break off. They become a business, Mike. There's a lot more to that, but they become a business.
They're basically, rent. As you've said before, they become business, and then they rent the space.
Yes.
And then they probably rent the rights to call themselves Georgia and Florida and Alabama.
They rent the space. They don't go to school. Their players are signed free agents or people signed straight out of high school. They're probably, if a guy leaves a school, and what, like he can't directly transfer from NCAA to SEC, but he can quit school, Mike. There could be a stud that plays for name a team, and he just, hey, they want me to play for them. They want to sign me to a deal. Bye-bye. No one gets in trouble because they don't play by your rules anymore. But it's a mess. It creates an even larger mess than the one we already have. So, Kirby Smart, right, Mike? Not the smartest plan here. Not saying he's not smart, but this is going to make it. And what are the SEC just going to play each other? Who was the Iowa State coach that came out, or AD that came out and said, "Fine, go. But you got to take all your schools with you, or all your teams with you."
Okay with that.
You have to figure out how to keep all those teams whole.
Yeah, well,
and if the schools are no longer members of the NCAA, Michael, if George is no longer a member of the NCAA, what tells them they have to have any sport that they don't really want?
Yeah, they're going to lose all their sports. And on top of this, I've said this before, if you're pouting about this, you're the Big Ten and the SEC, you have a bunch of other schools that are like, we're not going to play these guys because we're tired of them being themselves. They better A, pay us extra, or B, we're just not going to play them. And I think that's what's going to end up happening. It's going to be the Big Ten and the SEC if they split off. It's just going to be them versus them, and it's going to be the NFL.
It's because they can't agree on the college football playoff expansion, and they don't like the CSC, the College Sports Commission, the NIL Go stuff. So that would drive you to move on. That's the thing, man. You finally got a little bit of a victory, because I'm all for NIL and ways to go about it, but the way it's being used now is wrong. It's being used as a recruiting tool. You should be on the school first and then conduct your NIL deal. It shouldn't be. I do think that that trimming down the transfer portal situation would save a lot of things. They get one time they can transfer. That's it. They get one. But they fight that, Mike. Because how are you going to hold somebody who says, I need to transfer because I've got a family emergency. I need to be closer to grandma at home. The coach is a jerk head, and we get in fights all the time, and I feel unsafe there. Obviously, you should get rid of that coach, but we know it's the NCAA. Takes years for that to get discovered. No, turns out that guy was bad for 10 years. There's a lot of circumstances that would justify a kid being able to transfer again. But unfortunately, it's being abused because they're transferring because the grass is always greener, right?
There is a private right of action in this legislation, which allows a player to sue over a violation, and it would go to a district court or an appropriate state court.
Dixon says it's not NIL, it's a salary. Well, that's what it is right now, but they're still calling portions of this NIL. I mean, they have their salary cap that they've been told, hey, you can't spend more than what comes into your school directly, more than, what is it, $22 million? But there's nothing stopping you from filling up the coffers and getting athletes more money beyond the salary cap. That's what's happening right now. Guys are cutting deals worth millions of dollars. And that's coming from outside. That's coming from boosters, but not putting it directly into the school. $22 million is going directly into the school. but the rest of it is all quote-unquote NIL deals. But why not just make the salary cap like 40, 50 million? Just go up to 50 and stop messing with NIL. I don't know.
Yeah, there's an endorsement contract requirements, which is very interesting. Contract is in writing. The contract plainly states the student athlete has the right to obtain and retain athlete legal protections. Just certain, like, it says some things that in here that should, and I don't know if this is going to have any teeth, but it should be some obvious stuff. The amount of compensation will be written down.
It's just
promotions
like
will be mentioned.
The Clippers deal that Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers owner are being accused of, Michael, of basically promising, again, this is allegedly stuff that's happening right now, but basically finding ways to circumvent the salary cap and say, hey, we can, you know, we are only allowed to pay you, I don't know what it is, $50 million, but you wanted $60 million. Well, I got a guy that can give you 10. That's what allegedly the Clippers did with Ballmer and Kawhi Leonard. That is against the rules in the pros. And if that does come, if it is something they did, they will get in trouble for it. I don't know how much trouble, but they will get in trouble, probably pretty serious trouble for it. He could even lose. You could have a new owner of the Clippers again, maybe.
No, it wouldn't be that drastic, but it would be. They'd probably take away a first-round draft pick in year one and year
right.
two.
But you can't do that. You have to really punish that, though. If they already have, if the Clippers, let's say they have a crappy first-round pick, then don't. That's not going to do anything for them. But you have to hurt them. Anyway, the point is, it was supposed to be player A transfers to school A, then works on NIL deal. Well, then the salary cap stuff happened, and then it's okay. We got millions to give you, but you're already over your salary cap. Yeah, but boosters are. You shouldn't be able to promise that outside of what your allotted salary cap number is. If you're already over it, you shouldn't be able to tell a player, yeah, but we've got 4 more million here for you. That should be them transferring to Oregon, whichever school. And then they're working on an endorsement deal on their own, kind of. Or with their Learfield type agency. If that would be fine. But you can't use it to get the school the player there. You can use what's on your salary cap number, but you can't go over that to try to entice someone to come over to your school. But they do it, they will always do it. As many ways we can try to make it illegal, they will still get word that there is $1 million waiting for me, even though they're over the salary cap. Let's read some texts. From the 970, the transfer portal makes the FCS basically minor league baseball. Students are just waiting to get called up to the big leagues. Yes. And honestly, like for UNC, that's what we talked about on Football 52 today with Ed Lamb. Sometimes that's a selling point. Hey, come here to UNC. Let's beef you up. Let's get you to be good. Play here for a couple of years. And then if you're good enough, you transfer. It's what Cam Chapa did. It's what a couple of their star receivers did. So that's a selling. But it is what it is. It's a way for Ed Lamb to say, hey, rather than bitch about it, we're going to find a workaround. We're going to use it as a tool, as a recruiting tool. Come here, bust your tail. We'll teach you real college football, and then if you think you're good enough to go make money, well, there you go. We got 2 to 3 years out of you. Yes.
So Mike. There are two titles in this legislation. Title II is shorter, and it is about sports broadcasting. My guess is that's more of an ESPN.
It's the TV
thing.
Deal stuff, the TV contracts. Probably.
Yeah. I'm wondering if because like ESPN is, you know, trying to dominate everything. I'm wondering if, and I haven't had the chance to read any of this, but I'm wondering if maybe they're trying to break some of that up.
John says, I say one freebie transfer plus one family emergency transfer. Yeah, but what? what dictates a family emergency? I mean, that's subjective. It's like NBA referees.
That'll have to be settled in court.
I mean, what if it's a life-threatening situation? What if it's a Steve Adazio situation? You remember how bad that got in the Colorado one after Steve Adazio was fired? There was more stuff. Well, it's kind of during that process. Some of the things he was saying to players. What if you felt uncomfortable and it's not a family emergency, but the coach is actually a really... I'm not saying any of that stuff Adazio did was true that the Colorado one reported, but there were several players that came out and had this claim, that claim, whatever.
Whistleblowers.
Yeah, so if you feel that way, if you feel like, man, this guy is terrible to me, and he's kind of a jerk, and I'm not going to connect with him, I want to get out of here. It's not necessarily a family emergency. So that's the thing. Like, then it gets sticky. Gets sticky there, too. Dixon says, if SEC and Big Ten break off, how do you determine a national champ? Well, you have the NCAA national champ, and then you have, I mean, the college football playoff would go with the SEC, right, in the Big Ten? So they'd have theirs. The CFP would belong to them. Because that's not an NCAA thing, Michael. That's an external thing that was created. So they would break off. They would follow, I would imagine. So you're going to have two national champs.
It's going to be like the coaches pulling the AP poll all over again.
That's what you would do. You'd have the NCAA champ or whatever they call it. And you'd have the whatever you call it. Because I would imagine, wouldn't you guess the CFP would go with the SEC and the Big Ten?
Not necessarily. If it's just two conferences, that's
the two
that's
most,
not enough.
Their favorite ones, though. The biggest ones.
But it's just two. It's just two. You have 136 schools.
But they add more. They add more. How many schools are in the SEC right now?
18.
How many schools are in the Big Ten?
I think it's 14.
Okay. Jump that number up. That will be 30. Each conference will have 30. Now you got 60. That's double what you have in the NFL to make the playoffs interesting. So you get each conference to 30, and away you go. And the CFP goes right along with them. So it won't just be the SEC and Big Ten as we know it now. It will be the
SEC plus, let's see here, Oklahoma State will probably join them.
Yeah.
Even though they suck.
If the Colorado Buffaloes are any good at all this year with Coach Prime.
They'll bring the Buffs.
Yeah.
Because of Coach Prime.
Well, if Coach Prime's there, yeah. So there you go. Aaron says, as long as Texas Tech is going to fight for their quarterback, because they say he will face irreparable harm if he doesn't get to play, you're always going to see shady business in college sports. Yes. The Texas Tech quarterback who says he has a gambling problem and he gambled on his team, yet wants to be allowed to play college sports and be around sports, even though he has a gambling problem.
Yeah, well, that takes like actual more serious mental health issues and waters them down with alcohol addiction. That's more of an alcohol addiction thing, and people can get over their alcohol addiction. They just need support. This guy can get over his addiction to gambling. He just needs support and to stay away from the lifestyle, like alcoholics stay away from drinks.
It's all dumb. It's all silly. 28 minutes after the hour, Michael, we have to take a break here. It's the whole show. We've got Sean Keeler coming up. More on the Avalanche debacle as they were swept by the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Keeler writes about it in today's Denver Post. So we'll talk to Sean about that. Keeling Me Softly in the final hour show. Also got the clip of the day. All that and more coming up next. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
You keep my hands on myself.
To thank one of our excellent sponsors here, and that's Big City Roadhouse. Yeah, the Avalanche are done, but there's still plenty of reasons to go over to Big City Roadhouse, man. They have the best food. They have the best food around, the burgers, the pizza. The pizza is so good, Mike. And you're a pizza connoisseur. You know your pizza.
I know my pizza, and I know that pizza's really good. By the way, they sell their little sauces, too.
Yeah, they do. And those are good. Sauces are wonderful.
I believe we ate the sauce within a week.
Yeah, I think you drank it. I think you just drank the sauce.
Maybe, but not directly from the bottle.
Try the breakfast burritos. They do their breakfast burritos at Big City Roadhouse every day from 10 a.m. to noon.
I have not tried that yet.
Oh, they are. You saw how mine was gigantic.
It was. I was rather impressed with the size and scope of the burrito.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Big City Roadhouse. Big City flavor, Roadhouse Comfort. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Oh boy, Mike, how much longer is this Dirty 30 thing going to go on? The Rockies are 20-36 now. 20-36. Pretty good, Mike. Better than last year. They got the Dodgers tonight at 8:10.
This will be a victory, a close one.
Our Rockies insider, Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies, seems to kind of think we're going to land on shortly after my birthday, which would be the Chicago series, June 17th, when they would wrap up the Chicago series. But he's thinking probably more like in that Pittsburgh series following.
Yeah, I told him off the air that within a couple of weeks, people are going to start giving you money.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Prompted,
yeah,
they're going to think that you're homeless.
Yeah, we're getting to that point, Michael.
I mean, they do that to me. That's why my beard is always long. I'm like, free dollar bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to take a while. They're ahead of where we were last year, but when you see games like, and again, I know it's the Dodgers, but that was just, it was pretty rough, Mike.
But and maybe considering how many Rockies fans hate the Dodgers and how obnoxious Dodgers fans can be, you don't want to see that.
Yeah, no. So then they're home after the Dodgers game tonight. They're off tomorrow. So again, that's as good as a loss. An off day is as good as a loss, Michael, because that's just another day of not getting any closer. They have at home San Francisco starting on Friday. There's a chance to get one or two there, isn't there? And then Los Angeles, there's a chance to get one or two or maybe three there. We could get to 24 in the next seven games. If we could get to 24 in the next seven games, yeah, man, we're getting there.
That's a winning record over seven games.
Yeah, and it would be, we'd need six more to go. Six more, Mike.
I mean, once you hit 21, like you're feeling good. Hey, it's not just halfway over. You feel like it's almost
over. Almost over. Well,
it's a psychological
thing. Once we hit 20, honestly, I was like, okay, we'll get there pretty soon. But that's still a journey because I'm just looking here. Let's see. What is their record? 20. So that they were 10-16 on April 23rd. It has taken a little over a month, Michael, to get 10 wins. So based on that path, this will be done on June 26th and during the Minnesota series, if just based on that trajectory. But if they could get, you know, get hot and hot for the Rockies to win like 3 out of 7, then yeah, we could start to make a serious dent on the whole hashtag Dirty 30 thing. But It's a journey. It's going to be a long summer, isn't it? Waiting for training camp now.
Just ready?
Waiting for training camp.
It has been a journey, but hey. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing, man.
My belief is on life support right now. After what we witnessed last night. And in that series. Pretty negative right now. Like this is where we are. May, late May, and you're not playing hockey, you're not playing basketball anymore. Then it is all doom and gloom. Until we get to August, and then it's, oh, wow. You know, Broncos are getting ready to go. Nuggets will be checking into training camp. Avalanche will be checking into training camp pretty soon. New hope, regardless of what they end up doing. But right now, it's all pretty, pretty rough.
New hope, isn't that the first Star Wars movie that came out?
No.
Oh, sorry, A New Hope.
John Fort Rip Van Winkle says Ohtani is pitching tonight. Good luck. Lost 9 straight series. No, they're not. You think they're winning tonight?
It's a part of the formula, and I'm going to say yes because I'm so sad about the Avalanche.
If you get this right, then maybe you are the Rockies whisperer. Maybe you are if you get this right, but no, they're not.
Maybe. I think I got them right the first couple games, and then I got called that loss by the actual score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
So I hear whispers. Every now and then.
You have your little birdies, Michael. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 43 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. You got to talk to Ryan Hicks. He's the man with the plan. Renaissance Insurance Group is a fiercely independent insurance brokerage with a regional presence. Formed by two UNC Bears over 20 years ago, they've always had the backs of folks living in northern Colorado. They specialize in risk management, commercial, and personal insurance needs for Weld and Larimer County, and are the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Call Ryan today at Renaissance Insurance Group, 970-674-8825, or visit team-rig.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Michael, as we're trying to wrap our minds around what happened with the Colorado Avalanche in this sweep to the Las Vegas Golden Knights, you start to set your sights on what's next, and we've talked about that. Is it really moving on from Jared Bednar? Is that going to be the plan? Troy Rank wrote in the Denver Post, "Good guy Jared Bednar cannot keep Avalanche job after horrible sweep by the Golden Knights." They're out on him, man.
Thank you, John.
Get off Pedzie's ass.
Yeah, that's a fun one. You got to keep that one. You got to keep that one, especially if Bednar keeps his job.
Yeah, and get rid of it if he loses his job.
I just want to know if the players really believe that he's lost them. Like, the messaging is what they're saying is stale. What does that mean? It wasn't stale a week ago, and now it's stale. Is it true that it could have been stale for just 1 week? I think I have a hard time firing a coach that gets you to the conference finals. I heard Derb say it on Good Morning No Code. Like, yeah, I don't really care about who's the favorite to win it all. You still got to do it. You still got to do it, Mike. How many years in football do we see the Buffalo? How many years recently have we seen the Buffalo Bills are the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year? How many years have we seen that? A couple, at least?
Yeah, we have.
And how many do they
have? What happened to them in the playoffs the last few years, especially against the Broncos?
Now, if you are getting bounced on a regular basis early in the playoffs, especially by a young team like the Broncos that there weren't really any expectations for, team that you beat the year before, then, yeah, I can see moving on from your head coach. But did the Avs not do, answer this question, did the Avs not do better than they did last year?
They did. They just did. They ended the game terribly. It was like they lost 55-10, like the Broncos in the Super Bowl. they played terribly that entire series, except for one period.
Yeah. Well, no,
So are we having a recency bias? Or are we saying we have to fire this coach because this last series was bad? Or are we looking at his body of work? And his body of work in the playoffs isn't as impressive as it should be.
It's middle of the road.
The players you have.
I mean, the Nuggets, again, Michael, we got to learn from our history here. Who coached the Nuggets before, well, I guess two coaches before Michael Malone got there? George Karl. What was he known for not doing?
Getting past the first round.
Getting past the first round. And how many years was he given to try? 8 or 9, wasn't it? It was quite a bit.
It was a long time.
He was there for a while. Like from 2004 to, why am I blanking? He was there for close to 10 years. And that was for not getting past the first round. He won Coach of the Year that year. He got fired. So for Bednar, his problem wasn't getting past the first round before they won the cup. It was getting past the second round. And then they won a cup. And now it's, oh, well, you were picked to win it all and you didn't get past the Western Conference Finals. If you back away and look at it through that lens, that scope, then it probably seems a little silly to fire Jared Bednar, but they were an overwhelming favorite this year. And you can't change that. How good you were actually put more pressure on you. If they weren't the President's Trophy winner, would we be having the same conversation about Bednar, or would we be saying, hey, you at least got past the second round, job safe?
Yeah, the former. If they had a great season but weren't the best, say Vegas was the best.
Yeah, they were really good team.
In my opinion, Vegas is the number three team in the league, and Vegas plays well against the Avalanche. Especially in the playoffs, we've seen the Avs lose 4-1 to them before.
It's just, the Avs had 121 points, Michael. If they were somewhere around, Carolina had 113. They're going to be pretty upset if they don't win it all, too. But you're a victim of your own success sometimes. And I think that's what the Avalanche were dealing with. 12:49 the time. Let's wrap up hour number two. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we got Clip of the Day. Also, Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post, Sean Keeler. Is Sean out on Jared Bednar? Is it time for a new head coach for the Colorado Avalanche? And I got to tell you, it's a cop-out. I don't like it, but I'm probably somewhere in between, leaning toward keep him. Might be unpopular. We'll be right back.
Did you know you can hear your favorite KFKA shows anytime?
Ooh, anytime that you want me.
Find podcasts of Good Morning NoCo, Coach Speak, and the whole show on Apple, Spotify, or 1310KFKA.com.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
All right, I want to get more into this because there's more, Michael. We did this in the top story of the day, but this legislation from Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell, there's more to it, Mike, and I want to break into that a little bit more. Ross Dellinger has the full scoop at Yahoo.com, so we'll be talking about that a little bit in the final hour of the show. Also, Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler. Where do the Avalanche go from here, according to Sean? So we'll get to that coming up. Clip of the Day coming up next. We'll be right back.
The
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.